listen to me. You need to know your Bible. You need to study, read, be grounded, understand the truth.
This is Straight Talk.
Welcome back to Straight Talk Radio. This is Joshua Halleck, your host. I'm here in the studio with Pastor Mark Job from New Life Community Church with a brand new series that we're bringing to you. It's called Beyond Now, and it's all about how do we see reality in light of the end times that Jesus talks about. This whole series is Matthew 24 and 25. How do we live today in light of what Jesus says is going to happen, and how do we see those events unfolding? Pastor Mark, a lot of people are afraid when they read the news. People become terrified. They want to stockpile. They want to dig a hole or get a sign. You know, as you've taught this message and as you've meditated on your heart, what are you walking away with? What sense in your spirit that Jesus would have us to respond in these days?
You know, Joshua, there are so many things happening today that are escalating people's fears, and we are living in some times that are very unusual. We are seeing an escalation of wars, a persecution of Christians, catastrophes, natural catastrophes that seem fairly unusual. It seems like the world is shaken to its very core, that we are in crisis. But for the believer, none of this should take us by surprise. In fact, Jesus tells us very clearly what is going to happen in the end times. He doesn't tell us when he will return, but he does tell us how to prepare for his return. So this message today, we're talking about how close are we? I want us to take a look at here's what I know, Joshua. We are closer now than we have ever been before.
Now that is a profound insight. We've never been closer.
We have never been this close to the coming of Jesus than we are right now. And so that should not scare us. It should actually excite us. And so I can't wait to delve into this passage and really help our listeners understand how Jesus wants us to be prepared for the coming of Christ again.
Thank you, Pastor Mark. This message is titled, How Close Are We? It's Matthew 24, verses 1 through 14. It's going to be good. Get ready.
This is a historic fact collaborated by many historians. In fact, I've been to a place called Masada in Jerusalem where the rebels ran to. 1,000 of the rebels ran to after the massacre and hid in this fortified place called Masada. The Romans surrounded this place called Masada, which was like a fortress, and for 3 years tried to get the rebels out of this place. Finally, when they were breaching the wall, 960 of them committed suicide because they'd rather die than fall into the hands of the Romans. The disciples had no idea that their temple would be destroyed, but Jesus, being the Son of Man, seen and prophetically, he saw a vision of Jerusalem being destroyed. And when Jesus came into Jerusalem, he wept, not just because of the condition of people's souls, but because he saw that in 40 years from then, the entire city would be destroyed. When Jesus is answering, when will these things happen? He was talking about when Jerusalem would be destroyed, but he's also talking about when the end of humanity will come to be. And so I want you to keep that in mind as you look at the answers given in Matthew chapter 24 and Matthew chapter 25. So Jesus is answering, when will this happen and what will be the sign of its coming? So I want to give you the bad news and the good news. I don't know about you, but sometimes I'd rather hear the bad news first so I could be encouraged by the good news later. How about it? I'm going to give you the bad news first. Are you ready? Bad news. So as Jesus describes what the end will look like, he gives us a description. And there's four primary descriptions of the end times. And it's pretty much bad news. Number one. He says there will be an increase in people being deceived. Look at what Jesus says in verse 4. Jesus answered when they said, what will be a sign of the end times and when will this happen? Jesus says, watch out that no one deceives you. For many will come in my name claiming I am the Messiah and will be deceived by many. So the first thing that Jesus says is that one of the characteristics of the end times is that there will be many people that will fall away from the faith deceived because they're not grounded. They can't tell the counterfeit from the real. They can't tell the truth from the false. They can't tell that which contains truth but is primarily a lie from the authentic truth. In 2 Timothy, the Apostle Paul, also talking about the end times, in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3 through 4, says, "For the time will come," talking about the end times, "when men will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths." Over and over in Scripture, it tells us that in the end times, there will be many people that will be led astray. Many people that will fall away from Christianity. Many people that will be deceived by false teaching. Let me tell you this. We in America, in the United States of America, Christianity is by and large suffering a bleeding of sorts because many people that were born in traditional Christian homes have never truly been grounded in their faith, and many of them are falling away and not continuing on in the faith of their parents because they have not been grounded in the truth of Christianity. By and large, there's swaths of our world. If you go to Europe now, a lot of the continent of Europe is considered post-Christian. It was a nation at one time where the churches were filled. It was considered the cradle of Christianity where the great majority of the population were believers. Now in Europe, including the town where I grew up in, Burgos, there's a beautiful Gothic cathedral that took 400 years to build. It's in the center of the city. It's beautiful, ornate, but now it's a museum, not a church. There are churches in the UK that are turned into rock climbing courses or pubs. The massive buildings that once were there now are empty buildings, a testimony to a Christianity that once was flourishing, but a population that is veered away from their roots and left their Christian heritage behind. The percentage of people that go to church in Europe under the Christian flag is a small, small percentage of the population because Europe has become, by and large, a post-Christian nation. The United States of America is not far behind. We're tracking on course. Our society is becoming more secular. Many of the people that at one time people were expected that you move into a neighborhood, you find a Christian church and you go to that church. By and large, a huge percentage of our population in North America does not go to church anymore. The 20-somethings of our generation are being lost. Many of them do not believe in organized religion. Many of them no longer go to church anymore. There are entire segments of our population that are falling away from Christianity and oftentimes embracing other isms. Relativism, my truth is whatever I make it. Hedonism, whatever makes me happy is what I pursue, and so I pursue the pursuit of happiness. Pluralism, every road leads to the same place. Doesn't matter if you believe in a tree, if you believe in Buddha, if you believe in Hindu, if you believe in Muhammad, we all end up in the same place. That's pluralism. All religions are the same. Paganism, a sense of pursuing other gods. Secularism, science is chief. Humanism, all humanity is good and there's really no need for God. There's a lot of isms that have led us astray, deceived us away from the course of Christianity, and we are fighting for the soul of our nation when it comes to Christianity. Should that surprise us? No. Jesus predicted that the closer we get to the end times, the more we will see a massive falling away of people that claim to be Christians, but will be deceived by a lack of teaching, a lack of grounding, a lack of faith, a lack of passion, a lack of knowledge of the word. Let me tell you something. If I could reiterate something, listen to me. You need to know your Bible. You need to study, read, be grounded, understand the truth. I said, Pastor, no, I just like to come and listen to you. No, that's not good enough. One of these days I'll be dead and gone. Well, I can still listen to your podcast. No, not good enough. You need to know the truth. You need to know the word. You need to study. Because the day will come where you will have to tell between the true and the counterfeit. And unless you're grounded in the word of God, you will not be able to tell the difference between what is real and what is false, what is deceptive and what is authentic. And many will fall away the word of God. Know the word. Be grounded in your foundation. Secondly, Jesus says, not only will many people fall away, but Jesus also says, this is bad news, there will be an increase in catastrophic events, both natural and man-made. In verse 6, Jesus says, you will hear of wars and rumors of wars, but see to it that you are not alarmed. Such things must happen, but the end is still to come. Nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of birth pains. In other words, what Jesus was saying is just because there's wars and rumors of wars, because there's earthquake and famines and natural disasters, don't be alarmed, because it's like, well, how many of you ladies have had babies in this place? All right. Do you remember Braxton Hicks, what that means? Those are false birth pains that you start feeling them and they say, no. I've had three. I mean, my wife has had three. I felt her pain, really. Not as much as she felt it, but I felt it vicariously.
We'll be right back with Pastor Mark Job in a moment. You are listening to a Straight Talk message entitled, How Close Are We? Which is from Pastor Mark's new series called Beyond Now, Living for Eternity Today. After tonight's broadcast, I'll tell you more about how you can get a free copy of our message and give you information regarding Pastor Mark's ministry at New Life Community Church in Chicago. Right now, let's get back to Pastor Mark. We are in a message called How Close Are We?
And it was always difficult to figure out, when should we go to the hospital? And they say, well, time it. You know, if you're new, as soon as you feel the pain, you say, I gotta go. And then you go and you're 3 days in the hospital because they say, you're not ready. Because the beginning of birth pain doesn't mean that you're going to have a baby right away. How many of you mothers discovered that? Yeah. Just because you have pains, it means that, well, the baby's coming. It's the beginning of the end, but the end could be 32 hours later. And so just because you're starting to have pain doesn't mean the end is there. And Jesus is saying, just because there's rumors of wars and earthquakes doesn't mean it's the end of the world. It just means that there are, well, there are contractions that are pushing towards the end. I'm not a geologist. I'm not a scientist. I'm not a historian. But I read recently something interesting concerning earthquakes. I read that someone that tracks earthquakes and seismic movements in the earth, they discovered that earthquakes have increased in frequency and destructiveness during the 20th century. For example, between 1890 to 1950, there were an average of 2 to 4 devastating earthquakes every year in the world. In the decade of the 50s, there were 9. In the 60s, there were 13. During the 70s, there were 51. During the 80s, there were 86. Between 1990 to 1996, there were more than 115 damaging earthquakes recorded. And I read another geologist that said between 2000 and 2009, the planet averaged 160 earthquakes per year. That is a 38% increase over the recent years. Interesting. It feels like it, but I'm not a geologist. I tell you what, I don't know about you, but it seems like there's so many wars going on, I can't even keep track of who's fighting with who these days. This country's fighting against that country and threatening that country, and people in Syria are being knocked out and going to Europe, and some Middle Eastern countries are warring, and someone's against this, and this country's invading that country. It's like, whoa, I can't even keep it straight. Who's fighting against who? In fact, it seems like there's a escalation that's happening in the violence, the natural disasters that are happening, and the wars that are beginning to happen. Jesus said that in the end time, there'll be an escalation, an acceleration of some of the natural catastrophes and some of the man-made catastrophes that we'll be experiencing on the face of this earth. This is not something to be alarmed about, afraid about. It's something that Jesus says will naturally begin to happen as we get closer and closer to the end of times. Number three, I'm talking about the bad news. Some of you saying, Pastor, you're scaring me already. Okay, come on, I'm still there. There will be an increase in persecution of Christians. Verse 9 says, then you will be handed over to be persecuted and to be put to death. And you will be hated by all nations because of me. At that time, many will turn away from the faith and will betray and hate each other. And many false prophets will appear and deceive many. Whoa. We live in North America, in which we've experienced some of the longest periods of safety and peace than any country in the world. But look at me, look up at me, because this is really important for you to understand. We are the abnormality, not the normality. We live in safety that's abnormal to the rest of the world. But as I speak right now, today, we are living in the most violent times against Christianity than any history before us. We are experiencing more martyrs, more persecution, more torture, violence, rape against Christian than practically any generation that has come before us. In fact, I read some of the stats on the violence against Christians, and on average, every month, on average, there are 322 Christians that are killed for their faith on average every month. 322 every month. On average, there are 214 churches and Christian properties that are destroyed every month. In other words, violent groups come and they torch a church, burn it down, ransack it, tear it apart because of their anger and hatred towards Christianity. On average, I'm talking about today, not 100 years ago. On average today, there are 772 forms of violence are committed against Christian people in a month every day. We live in a accelerating time of violence against Christians. In fact, in an article of Christianity Today, during the last 2 years, there have been reports of terrorist attacks against Christians that have steadily emerged in the world. For example, 7 Egyptians were executed in Benghazi Beach last year. 165 Christian girls were kidnapped from a Christian school by a group called Boko Haram, and 21 Coptic Christians were beheaded near the Mediterranean Sea, among other incidents, just in 2014. We have seen that same escalation begin to happen in 2015. Groups like ISIS, for example, have forcibly displaced hundreds of thousands of people, conducted mass executions, and kidnapped sold, enslaved, raped, and forcibly converted thousands of women and children, all on the ground that these people stand in opposition to their religious dogma. We are living in a season of unprecedented persecution against Christian at a massive scale. The news does not report it often because they treat violence in the Middle East and in other countries much like they treat murders in some of the neighborhoods in Chicago. Oh, just another gangbanger that got killed. It's a blip on the news because they just assume, well, there's a lot of violence in that area. But hey, since when did it become just another gangbanger? That's a son or daughter that we love and raise and believe. It's a kid with a name. The Middle East and some of these countries in Africa and other places seem so far away that they seem so to not touch your existence and my existence. But I want to tell you something. Those men and women, those girls that have been raped, forcibly converted, those pastors that are being executed, put in jail, they are not just a victim of an undeveloped country. They are our brothers and sisters in Christ. I was in Nairobi, Africa this past summer. And Nairobi, which is a fairly peaceable country in Africa, at the edges of Kenya that borders with Somalia, up in that area, there are 150 college students that were executed, targeted as Christians. Ask, are you a Christian? Yes, boom. 150 of them. And then in the city of Nairobi, there was a mall that was attacked by an extremist group targeting people that especially were non-Muslim people, targeted and killed. When I went to preach in this large church in Nairobi, I was shocked when I went to the compound of this church because the entire church was surrounded by 10-foot wall with electrical fence on the top. And I thought, wow, that's pretty extreme. When I went to the gate, I was met with armed guards with rifles. This was to enter the church compound. They searched the trunk, looked in the car to get in the church. And I thought, well, that's pretty extreme. And they said, well, there's been a lot of bombings, a lot of killings, a lot of targeting of Christians. I went to get a coffee in the morning to the equivalent of a Starbucks. Thought it'd be a simple process. But there was a lot of Westerners that go there. And when I went in to go into the parking lot, there was a railing. To get in there, they stopped our car, armed guards, looked within our car, popped the trunk, had a mirror where they looked under our vehicle to make sure there was no bombs. This is to get my latte. I drove into the parking lot. Once I got in there, I thought it was all done with. To get into the cafe, I had to stop, put my arms up, and there was a metal detector that they searched me to make sure there was no weapons on me before I could go in just to get a cup of coffee. The violence targeted Christians. We live in a shielded society, in a society that by and large we are not seeing what's happening in other parts of the world. But Jesus predicted that in the end times, the aggressive violence against Christians would begin to escalate. In fact, he predicted that many would be persecuted. And not only did he say that many would be persecuted, but he said that many would be hated by all nations and that many will turn away from the faith and will betray and hate one another. Because let me tell you what happens when persecution starts up. When you have to pay a high price, those that are truly authentic believers step up to the plate and say, I will not deny my Savior. Those that are just culturally Christians run away as quickly as they can because they don't want to pay a price. It purges the church. I don't know what would happen on Sunday morning or how full this place would be if we knew that we had to look over our shoulders to see if the Secret Service was following us.
You have been listening to Pastor Mark Jobe's Straight Talk series called Beyond Now, Living for Eternity Today. And tonight was the second half of his message called How Close Are We? Join us again tomorrow for part two. How ready are you? And as I mentioned earlier, if you would like to have a copy of tonight's message, you can download it for free with our Straight Talk app. Just log on to PastorMarkJobe.com. That's PastorMarkJobe.com. If you prefer to have a CD of the message, contact our office at 773-585-3300. That's 773-585-3300. CDs are only $5 plus shipping. Pastor Mark's book, Unstuck, is also available for only $10 plus shipping. If you are looking for a new home church, we invite you to check out one of our 25 New Life locations throughout Chicago. Just log on at newlifechicago.org. That's newlifechicago.org. You'll find all the locations and the times that they meet. We'd love to meet you. Well, that's it for Pastor Mark, our Straight Talk team, and myself. Thanks again for listening. Please do join us again tomorrow for another edition of Straight Talk. Have a great night, and God bless.